Hi and welcome. You are listening to podcast number 3 for the lecture introduction of the artificial intelligence course. We are resuming on slide 37. So today, AI is really developing as a revolution. So suddenly it is a field that is widely accepted. It is in the focus of many, many researchers, and it becomes a very important technology to solve the challenges of our times. The digital transformation that we've seen over the last decade actually paves the ground for the AI revolution. So we have internet access everywhere for everybody. This allows us to connect to intelligent services whenever we want. The digital transformation generates a lot of data, so we can use this data in novel ways, and having so many data also raises the need for new methods to make predictions and initiate actions. We see applications that actually have billions of users, so here we see really IT systems of scale that have a very high volatility, and we've managed to understand these systems and how we successfully scale the computing power that we need. We encapsulate AI technology in cloud services and implement elastic computing, so we can scale computing power to very flexible needs whenever we have to use it and need it. And of course, also software development has really matured and helps us to build complex application systems. Important milestones in the development that we briefly talked about were the Deep Blue chess computer. So this was really a milestone when Garry Kasparov, a world champion, was beaten by a computer. And with the current interest in AI, of course, the success of Google in the game of Go is a remarkable milestone. Go is much more complex. We've seen this on one of the earlier slides. And Go is also a game that is much less unstructured when compared to chess. So on a chessboard, we have these different pieces. They can move according to rules. And we can also evaluate the position of these pieces and the situation on a chessboard based on rules. In a Go game, this is much, much more difficult. So if you look at this picture, you see a distribution of white and black stones. And it is not at all obvious to understand, and even for experts, to really know in any situation who has an advantage position here and who is about to lose. So a Go game is much more unstructured, and it was not possible to play Go successfully until we've actually seen the progress in neural networks and the ability to learn the evaluation of a Go board position, either by analyzing millions of Go games or by playing millions of Go games and learning from experience. And here we also see how the internet and the availability of data was key to actually develop the AlphaGo system. The Go community likes to play in worldwide settings. They've built up servers with games, so they play over the internet, and this led to a wealth of Go games that could be fed into modern machine learning algorithms. I want to skip the slides about Deep Blue. You can read them in an offline way and look at this a little bit more. And you see there we had to have a supercomputer to actually win. Today this is still a powerful computer, but of course we can have strong game playing algorithms also on our local home hardware today. And on slide 41, I summarize some facts about AlphaGo, and we learn in this lecture about the fundamental techniques that underlie these two systems. On slide 42, I have put for you together a link to your video on YouTube. And you see here actually the starting point of the renewed interest in AI. In 2012, IBM released a system, Watson, that successfully played the game of Jeopardy. So Jeopardy differs from chess and Go in the sense that it's more a game where you need to know a lot of fact knowledge. And IBM was able to put such a knowledge base together, and it was also able to push language understanding to a level where a computer could understand a question and find an answer in a huge fact base. And you see also in this video, you see the usage of confidence values that was pioneered in Meissen, in the Meissen expert system. And you see this used again. So Watson searches for an answer to the question, and it creates some hypothesis. And if the hypothesis confidence is too low, it will not engage in the game, because when you give a wrong answer in this game, you can also lose money. So I suggest you watch this little video to see how the system behaves, and you see with its strategy and very strong background knowledge, it very quickly comes into an advantage position where it wins the game. On slide 43, I have put to you together an extract of a very interesting report by Gartner. Unfortunately, this report is not publicly available. It is a commercial report by the biggest business analyst. And already in 2017, Gartner analyzed AI hypes and myths in more depth, and for practitioners put together a document that really also cleaned or clarified some of these myths around AI. So for example, artificial intelligence is real. So this is not the case. AI systems today are specific systems and specific applications, but there's not something like a general AI that you can buy to solve your problems. We still need to solve our problems ourselves, but AI can help us, of course. AI also does not have human characteristics. We've seen this in the discussion. So today, rational systems dominate the application field. AI also does not learn on its own. We will look into modern learning algorithms and how this works. And the last myth is, of course, there will never be another AI winter. So hopefully there will not. I'm sure that the AI technology by itself are very strong and powerful. But of course, with the current hype, we've seen some over expectations, of course. But those will come down. But nevertheless, the technology is there. It works. And we can do very useful things with it. Let me at the end talk about some selected challenges in AI. So one challenge that we are facing is, for example, transfer learning. So here are some, here's a nice video from the Google Labs. You see little robot arms learning how to pick objects in a box. This reminds us, of course, again on micro worlds. So here you see such a micro world in action, and these robots make much faster progress when they're able to exchange the knowledge. And how we exchange knowledge and how we can learn from different systems and put these insights that these systems generate together is a very active field of research. Reinforcement learning is very interesting. So maybe you've seen the video on slide 46 about this robotic hand from OpenAI that can manipulate the Rubik's Cube. This triggered a lot of excitement, but if you actually look at the success rates, it was still quite low. So it can only solve 20% of arbitrary cube situations, and in 80% it will even drop the cube. So this is of course far away from industrial applications, but reinforcement learning is a very interesting approach, where systems don't learn from massive bodies of knowledge, but rather learn from experience. On slide 47, I've put together a video on learning of optimal strategies. So here you see so-called Q-learning, which is an example of reinforcement learning. And what is interesting is that the system discovers a rather unusual strategy. So this is an old Atari game. You make points by hitting against these walls. The deeper you can hit, the more points you get. And the system very quickly discovers that the optimal strategy is, in fact, to hit a tunnel and then hit from the back, because that is possible in the game. It's not so obvious when you play it as a human. But here the AI system spots this unusual strategy quite quickly. So this is very interesting for us, because this also shows that AI systems can show us solutions to problems that humans perhaps would not be able to invent. So here we can actually use AI to increase our own intelligence by orders of magnitude. On slide 48, I show you an example of image analysis. Here, this is with Google and its deep learning approaches. And you see this is really impressive. You know, we recognize Roger Federer even. It's a ball game, it's a tennis player. We have a racket sport. But you also see the weaknesses and the lack of the conceptual understanding of sports. So if you look at, again, here you see confidence values, and you see that the hypothesis that we see a tennis player has confidence of 89%, and the hypothesis that we see a football player has confidence of 88%. So these two hypotheses are identical. But at the same time, the system identifies a racket sport, and every human knows that a football is not played with a racket. But of course, deep learning systems don't have this symbolic background knowledge, and this can lead to some real issues. So we have a lot of research challenges here to address. We have a lot of dependency, which is then often hidden, so we don't even know when the system goes out of the range of its training data. The confidence values aren't really calibrated, so a difference of 88 or 89% doesn't say anything. And unfortunately, with deep learning, that learned model is very intransparent. We'll look into this in the machine learning lecture in more detail. Slide 49, I want to raise some ethical questions. Of course, this is very important. We do address this a little bit in this course, but not so much. And here's an important example. So now we see machines who can talk to us, and we can talk to them. So this is very new. We were never able to talk to a machine. And now, of course, is the question of whether these machines who should have a specific machine voice or not. One proposal is a genderless voice. So people also discuss that a lot of gender bias is encoded into the voices of machines. But we can also raise this further. So you can listen to this genderless voice. See what you think about it. For me, it's personally rather confusing. I'm not sure, is this a male voice? Sometimes I perceive it as a female voice, so it's a little irritating. But the people also discuss, shouldn't we able to recognize immediately that we talk to a computer and not to a human? So do we need machine specific voices, and how would these voices sound to make them pleasant for us to talk to these machines? On slide 50, I summarize some of the current research trends. There's also a very interesting community roadmap by the American research community, which in my eyes is the most vital and innovative research community. So we see hybrid architectures, multi-AI architectures that integrate various algorithms and approaches. Mastering the context is a real challenge for AI systems. So being able to have a meaningful interaction with humans. Embodiment is interesting, of course, what it should be the physical existence of an AI system, that it can live and interact with us. We still, of course, want to understand human intelligence better, and learning is a very, very big field. So how can we actually achieve robust and trustworthy learning, for example, by integrating symbolic and numeric or so-called subsymbolic representations? And here you see the term subsymbolic was not used. They use numeric representations here. And the Roger Federer example showed the need for such an integration. So, slide 51, the summary. I hope I have shown to you that AI is a very vivid research area with many different communities, different opinions and technologies. The history of AI is marked by big successes, but also by quite some hypes and failures. The increase in computing power, the availability of data, and the progress in all AI subfields has led to remarkable achievements over the last decade. We will see many more details about these achievements in this lecture. We also need to be aware that each AI technology has its limitations. It comes with inherent risks, and therefore risk management as well as ethical considerations are very important when we bring AI into applications. And in my eyes, the next challenge for AI will be to master the four big A, namely abstraction, so being able to develop abstract knowledge by itself, being able to do a reasoning by analogy, which is a basis to hold argumentations, for example, and to explain why a certain decision was made. And finally, we want to be able to incorporate arbitrary common sense, similar to humans who have a good feeling about many domains, but in this implicit and more, let's say, feeling-based sensing of the world is, of course, very hard to capture for AI methods. On slide 52, I have another video and movie recommendation for you, Steven Spielberg. So, in particular, the introductory scene is very, very interesting. In my eyes, this is the best movie about AI. It's nearly 20 years old, but it's very, very up to date given the development of the field today. You can watch parts of the introductory scene on YouTube. Unfortunately, this part stops right before the really interesting discussion among the researchers. So that's why I clipped this final part from my movie DVD and uploaded it into the CMS, where you can find it in the video section. And there you can actually watch the discussion among the researchers. So in this movie, a researcher proposes to develop a real intelligent robot. Spielberg wraps this in the metaphor of a robot who laughs. And then in this discussion, the researchers discuss about the role of humans in the relationship between such robots and humans. So the important question that is asked is, if these robots really can love humans, how can we convince people or the human to love such a robot back? Or how do we relate to machines who are very, very similar to us and might even have the same capabilities? The question remains unanswered. So this final part of the introductory scene ends with this puzzled face by William Hurt. And then the movie explores the consequences of not answering this question. So I recommend to watch it if you have time, because it's really interesting. So then finally, on slide 53, I've put together some working questions for you. These working questions are intended to help you to reflect about the important pieces of knowledge that we learned about in a lecture. So we learned about artificial intelligence as a field. What is it about? We briefly touched upon the difference between a symbolic or subsymbolic representation. This will, of course, become much more clear in the subsequent lectures. We discussed weak and strong methods, knowledge sparse, knowledge intensive methods. I summarized the main historic phases of AI for you, and I encourage you to discuss risks and opportunities of AI technology in the light of your own opinion. on slide 54. I have some recommended readings for you. So there's a link to Turing's original paper. There is a reply of Patrick Hayes and Kenneth Force to researchers from the cognitive science part of AI who discussed the Turing test in more depth and actually give arguments why they believe this test is harmful for AI research. Then you also find a link to this original summer school and summer workshop. Say this again. So you see this original Dartmouth workshop research proposal and under this link, so you can actually read what these people in 55 proposed. And for those who speak German, I have a podcast from an interview with the German weekly newspaper Die Zeit, where I also discuss aspects of artificial intelligence. And finally, on slide 55, a discussion of Rodney Brooks. There's seven deadly sins of AI predictions, so his reply to the current hype and some over expectations, and then three books that shed light on the history of AI and give you some give you access to a lot of historic material if you're interested. So thank you very much. This is the end of the first lecture. I know not everything is perfect in this recording, but nevertheless, I hope you find it useful, and I encourage you to go through the slides again, read the textbook, and maybe have a look at one or the other paper in the further reading section. Thank you very much.